Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very eminent individual from the Netherlands, Mr. Ajit Bakas. Ajit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you.
Ajit is a trend watcher in his own words. He's an author, he's a TV personality, and he's a speaker, and we'll talk about all this. Very interestingly, he is considered to be exciting by CNN, inspirational on BBC, provocative on TV2 newscast, and there are so many other adjectives given to him. So Ajit, let's first talk about trend watcher. What does this mean? And help me understand with an anecdote or an example.
Well, it means that I'm trying to grasp what is going on behind the headlines of today's newspapers. What is really going on? Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this for 30 years now because I'm an old man. I'm ancient. I'm 57 now. But I'm doing this for 30 years now, and I've built up a very good track record. It's partly based on intuition, partly based on my enormous network all over the world. So I get research, I get ideas from everywhere over the world, and I blend it all together in what's happening now. So I think personally that we have now entered the age of chaos. And my new book is also about the age of chaos. It will be published in Dutch in November, mm-hmm. and then later on in English and other languages.
So before we go any further, tell me about your new book, Chaos.
Chaos. Well, chaos is a very old Greek word, but you should look it up in Old Greek, because Old Greek is different from New Greek. Mm-hmm. And in Old Greek, chaos means an empty space, the space of nothing. Mm-hmm. And in that space, everything moves from left to right, right to left, up and down, front and back. Mm-hmm. And everything changes, everything is going around. And we had such an age of chaos in Europe in the 15th century, between 1400 and 1500. Before 1400, China and India together were good for 80% of the world's GDP. Correct. And the rest of the world was good for 20%. Mm. But here in Europe, we had this age of chaos. I'll give you an example, the Italian city of Florence. Mm-hmm. In Florence in the 15th century, half of the population was wiped out because of the pest. But Florence at the same time became the center of excellence and innovation, mm-hmm. and sped forward the innovation, which later on made Europe the superpower of the 15th century, to discover America and colonize the Americas, and later on discover colonizing India and other places as well. Mm-hmm. But up till 1400, Europe was nothing. Mm-hmm. But in this age of chaos, it was very good. And this age of chaos is now happening, but in Europe and in America, we are aging. So we don't have enough young people. Mm-hmm. So this age of chaos means an enormous opportunity for countries with a young population, mm-hmm. like India and Nigeria. And I work a lot for the banks in Nigeria, and we are really focused on what we are going to do, because within the next 20 years, the millennials, and then after that, the Generation Z, mm-hmm. are going, which are born after 1995, yeah. are going to take over, which means an enormous transfer of wealth from the older generations to new generations, mm-hmm. new generations of consumers, so this is an enormous age of chaos. And a lot of people can benefit from this chaos. Some people will lose, some people will win.
So based on all your experience, Ajit, what is your way to navigate the chaos?
To navigate the chaos will differ from every individual and every company, mm. and every country and every region. Mm. But you should focus on, for example, Let's focus on IT first, because this chaos will lead to an enormous digital revolution.
Correct.
Digitalization 4.0. And digitization started in the 18th, 19th century in Europe, and it started in the textile industry in France. But, and then later on it moved on and on, but now, I'll give you an example. Last year, my bladder, my gallbladder, was removed by my surgeon, and he sat beside me in the operation room, and he operated the robot. The robot they blow a lot of air in your belly,
your stomach,
big, and then they have this little knives, this very little knives, and then they operate it with the robot. And the, my surgeon explained to me, I do this now, but we now have 5G internet. But within 10 years, we will have 6G internet, and then I can perform this operation from home. Wow. I can sit at home. An assistant in the hospital brings the patient, makes it ready, and everything, puts the robot there. And from home, I can steer the robot arms, and I can perform the operation. I don't have to leave my home. I don't have to leave my country. I can perform these operations all over the world, in India, in China, doesn't matter. So 6G is going to create enormous opportunities for people to work globally without having to migrate. A lot of young Indians migrated to America in the or Britain in the past 20, 30 years. Guys, if you're watching now, you can work globally without having to leave India. You can stay in India, you don't have to leave. And with 6G internet, which is coming within 10 years, it's currently being developed in China. I hope that the Indian IT industry is also involved in this. I know in South Korea, they're also busy with it. So roll out 6G internet as soon as possible as part of the new infrastructure in India. I see that the Indian government is investing billions in the infrastructure, in the physical infrastructure in India, which is fine. But you should also invest in the digital infrastructure in India, especially with 6G, enabling people everywhere. So even in the smallest remote villages, people can get the same healthcare as in the big cities.
One trend you have mentioned is the digital economy. And you know, you've explained to me and to our viewers and listeners what the trend is going to be. What are some of the other areas where you think the world is going to change?
Well, next month I have to speak on a conference in South Korea about the future of oceans. That is also, a lot is going to happen in the oceans. Because I'll give you an example. Japan has discovered under the sea in front of Japan, enormous resources of rare earths, which can be used for the batteries of, which can be used for the smartphones, etc. So they are not dependent from China anymore for rare earths. They can just get it from their own sea, from under their own seabed. Other things. So we are going to see a lot of deep sea mining. That is, but that is only part of it. So I think India should really connect with Japan, because it is now all China, China, China. But don't become too dependent on China. Do your own things, because a world ruled by China will not be a very wonderful world. China needs to get, like in the time of the Cold War, we had between the Russian, the Soviet Union and America, we now should have not only China, we should have another bloc, a democratic bloc against of democratic powers like China and Japan and South Korea, against the authoritarian bloc of dictatorships like China and Russia. I really think that in the end, creativity wins, and creativity flourishes the best in democracies.
Correct.
So, but you, for example, also in India, you should focus more on the sea. In the past 60 years, you have focused too much on your northern frontiers and the problems with Pakistan and Afghanistan and whatever. Pakistan is a lost country. Afghanistan is a lost country. Let them go. Focus on the south. Focus on the oceans. Invest in your harbors. Invest more in your neighbors on the same. Invest in doing more with that. It is all happening at sea, and the rest is going to happen in space, in aerospace.
Very interesting.
That is why the American billionaires like Jeff Bezos and other ones are now investing in their own space companies. And I think Indian billionaires should do the same because it is going to happen in space. It's going to happen on the moon. It's going to happen on Mars, but even more. The British are investing in the first aerospace rockets which are run on nuclear power. You should also become independent from oil, invest in nuclear power plants all over the country. The British have developed small power plants, very, very small. Because the British submarines are driven by very small nuclear plants. So every big British submarine has a small nuclear power plant aboard. And these small power plants are now built by Rolls-Royce, which is the manufacturer, all over Great Britain. So every village can have its own little nuclear power plant. The waste is almost nothing, so it's only one glassful of waste every 5 years. So don't worry about it.
Very interesting.
And then you're independent from the oil of Iran and all these stupid, and Saudi Arabia and all these stupid countries. So I'll give you an example, France. France here in Europe, between 1975 and 1985, they built 55 nuclear power plants. 90% of the energy in France is nuclear. And France has the lowest CO2 emissions of all over Europe.
True. So
India can do the same. It's easy. You have brilliant engineers. You have brilliant people. You can work with Rolls-Royce and make a joint venture or whatever. So every Indian village can have its own power. So you never have power cuts anymore. Don't worry about that. So if you do it like that, it's okay.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
More is happening in space. I was talking about space. Why do you think everybody wants to go to Mars? Why do you think that not only America, not only Elon Musk, not only the NASA, but also the Chinese are investing so much in Mars? Because of the natural resources there.
Correct.
And the NASA already discovered one planet in space, not far from Mars, that contains all diamonds. So this whole planet, which is the size of Earth, is only diamonds. So if we will be able to explore that, and if we can do nuclear-driven rockets and sending them in space, what are we going to discover much, much more? And if there are so many diamonds available, Indians love diamonds. So every Indian, man and woman, can have a big 10-carat diamond on every finger and every toe. Don't worry. And everybody can become a millionaire because of that. There is so much worth in space. And of course, we are going to discover much more. Other planets. Probably we're going to discover other aliens living there.
Absolutely.
I don't know what we can do. I don't know about if Hinduism has these stories, but in Christianity, I am from a mixed family. My mother was Hindu, my father was Muslim. When they married, they thought it was too difficult, so they both became Christian, and we were raised Christian. In Christianity, we have these tales that long ago there were very large people living on Earth. I call it these giants. And the big statues in Afghanistan that were blown up by the Taliban were of these giants. And there is this story in Christianity that we have these giants and that we have angels coming from space, mixing with humanity, and that in that time humanity sped forward, also in age of forward, and that humanity was by that so brilliant and also so large that we could build the pyramids in Egypt, the pyramids in Mexico, and all the fantastic buildings in India. You know, this grace, this fantastic temple, fantastic buildings. And there is this story, and Hinduism has also this story, that we were mixed with angels, that we were mixed with. And I think the same is going to happen now. In this age of chaos, we are going to probably going to mix again with people from space. And I think they're already watching us. And I think we see it already. There are the first six, the Pentagon, the American Ministry of Defense, recently published a study which said we already see a lot of UFOs. We all, our military, everybody is seeing something is happening. And of course, climate change is happening. Don't worry about that. Don't you worry about it. Climate change has happened before. It is not going to become hotter. It's going to be, well, in Europe, we know it's going to become colder, more cold in the next 30 years. So we all have to wear our fur coats day and night. And I don't know what's going to happen in India. Don't make climate change a religion.
Okay.
And please get rid of the idiots of Greenpeace. Because Greenpeace caused enormous problems in India. For example, for a long time, they were against genetically modified rice. But genetically modified rice is perfect. It's not only China which is doing it with their own scientists. America is doing so, don't worry. But if we genetically modified rice is perfect, I eat it. You can eat it, and there is nothing wrong about that.
Right.
And the yields are much better, not only for the farmers, but for everybody involved. But I know that Greenpeace is very influential in India. Send them back to where they come from. They're, it's not an Indian organization. It's a Western organization that was created to keep countries like India down and poor.
Well
so
said.
Get rid of Greenpeace, never listen to them. And this whole environment, this whole climate church, get rid of them.
Very well said.
Do your own thing.
Well
and,
said.
Well and said. Prepare, and just prepare. For example, Holland is now building new dikes around the shore so that we, when the floods are coming and when the new tsunamis are coming, we are prepared. You can do the same, for example, around Mumbai. I saw the when it's happening in Mumbai, build new dikes around it so you don't get hurt. And build new harbors. The harbor of Mumbai needs expansion, but you also need other harbors in there, all around the ocean. And focus on the south. Ignore the north. Ignore that Pakistan and ignore Afghanistan. Let them kill each other. Let them go back to the Middle Ages with the stupid medieval ideas. It's not your business. And ignore them. And
well said. Well said.
Do your own thing.
Well said. So let me move on now, Ajit. You know, when I was reading about you, I find that you know one of the things that you're very very good at is speaking.
Yes.
For my large number of viewers and listeners who are very, very young, I want to ask you, what goes into becoming a good and an appealing speaker like you?
Well, you have to be an actor, not necessarily a Bollywood actor, but you have to be an actor on stage because you have to be entertaining and you have to communicate with your whole body. I was trained by an American speech coach. And she learned me how to speak with my whole body, with my whole body. So, and when I was a young boy in Suriname, I was on a ballet school and I learned there to dance. And so with ballet and with dancing, you learn how to communicate with your whole body. So you have to be like that. You have to be, you're an actor on stage and you bring, and you have to inform, you bring information, you share knowledge, but you also, so I share knowledge, but I do it in a way that I entertain people. So it is infotainment. And people have to laugh a lot because we know from if you laugh, the minute after that, the things that are coming, the information which is coming after you laugh very loud, is staying with you for years. So that is also a way of doing it. Make it also humorous, make it entertaining, and make them laugh, and also make it interactive. So I always engage my audience, and I ask them, look, what is your opinion? What is your idea? What is your experience? And it's wonderful to do it. If you do it like that, then it's just...
Fascinating. So I'm going to move on. I have time for two more questions from you.
Sure.
My next question is that, Ajit, you know, you had such an amazing life and amazing career. As you look back, what does success mean to you?
Well, first, success means staying healthy. Uh-huh. 4 years ago, I had 2 strokes. So that's why the left part of my body is paralyzed. And you can still see that it is it is shaking a bit. And when I always talk to the future to my audience, but 4 years ago, I had no future anymore. I was lying in a hospital bed and I was paralyzed. So the first thing is good health. Good health is worth much than anything. The second thing is a healthy love life. I am 24 years together with my husband. In Holland, it's okay to be openly gay. You can say it on stage. We are married. And everybody knows the prime minister. I work for the prime minister. I work for the CEOs of all big companies here. Nobody cares at all dinner parties or all.
Sure.
We are coming together. Mm-hmm. And but we are happy. And despite the fact that my husband now has lung cancer in stage 4, so he's very ill. And I spent a lot of time taking care of him, spending time with him, and be sure that we have a good time despite the fact that I am on stage. So I am also managing my conferences. So for example, I have to speak now in South Korea, but I'm not going to travel to South Korea. I'm doing this online, but we now have very new ways of 3D and doing it wonderfully. We can, so together with we can do fantastic with 3D animations. I can do now fantastic shows all over the world without having to travel, because today I want to travel less. I want to spend more time at home. I don't know how long he has to live. And being a good human being is the best success you can be. Being a good human, I see it now. People here all over are helping us and bringing food, doing things. Being a good human being is the best thing of being successful. You don't have to be a millionaire. Okay, my husband and I earned a lot of money. But I don't have children, so I collect antiques and art. So it is here like a mini a museum. You can see it also here.
I know, I can see them behind you.
You can see it. It is like a mini museum, and we love it. So, and that is what I also would say to young people: travel, 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 travel everywhere. Try to find everywhere. Travel and talk to other people, other cultures, other people. Get inspired by what's happening in the world. And I started to travel because my mother also loved traveling. So when I was 12, she first took me abroad. So travel, travel, travel.
Fantastic. And my last question to you, you know, for someone who has done such a diverse range of things and, you know, really lived up to your own passion, who or what inspires Ajit?
Well, I have 2 elderly men who inspired me a lot. Mm-hmm. One is Mickey Huibrechsen, who was the CEO of McKinsey.
Yeah.
And he is now in his 80s. And he was one of the guys who discovered me and introduced me in big business. And he said, you are very talented. I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. The second one is Professor Wim de Ridder, who is the leading futurologist of the Netherlands. And he discovered me too. And he taught me a lot of what I know. So these 2 men lay the base of what's happening today. They both are white. They both adopted me like their son. and they brought me forward. That's why I hate all this woke idiocy which is coming from America now, which is saying all white men are bad and all this. I was helped with white men, by white men. Yeah. Without white men, I was never what I am today.
Yeah.
So in India, please don't listen to this woke disaster, which is now killing. For example, Europe is committing suicide because of this woke thing. In America, we're going to get a civil war.
Yeah.
All because of this woke idiot. Mm. Don't import that bullshit in India. And travel, go and look. What can you learn from China? Go and have a look. And have a look to other places.
Very well said. Very, very well said. Ajit, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure and a privilege speaking to you. I mean, you know, you shared with me some amazing trends, the digital economy, look for wealth in the oceans, look at the space, think of nuclear energy, think of, you know, climate change, but don't get too carried away with it. You know, what an amazing conversation. Thank you again, and good luck and good health.
Thank you very much. And also to you, good luck and good health, especially good health. That is the most important.
Thank you again. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.